The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Well, all this week, we are talking about the charity Autism in Man, and Carol Williams has been giving us the background again. We've spoken to you a number of times before, yep. Carol, and it's lovely to have you back, especially this month, because it is Autism Acceptance Month. How important is something like that?
I think a lot of people are scared of the word autism, because I think they think, yeah, I don't want to label on all of that. But without autistic people in the world, we wouldn't have engineers, we wouldn't have many doctors, we wouldn't have accountants, we wouldn't have people who build bridges, you know. So it's not something to be scared of. And I think that's what we need to get across to people, is it's fantastic.
And it's complicated as well, isn't it? Because yeah. there's many different types of autism.
Yeah.
And I suppose something like an awareness month like this gives you a chance to sort of get that message out there and for people to learn about the condition.
Yeah, something as simple as, you know, people who are employers, something as simple as somewhere quiet for your employees to be able to just go and sit. That is huge, absolutely huge. I heard somebody speak once at one of the conferences, and this gentleman said that when he first started his job, he is a train person and he has a bag of trains under his desk, and he used to have to go into the toilets and play with his trains in the toilets to be able to refuel himself, to be able to do his work properly. And somebody caught him. And he was taken into the boss's office and he thought he was going to get the sack. And the boss said, "Why do you do that?" And he said, "Because I need to refuel. I need to just get myself together to be able to do my job properly." And those employers emptied a broom cupboard and put in a settee and gave him the ability to go into a quiet room. And that was huge for him.
That is wonderful. And of course, then as well, from an employer's point of view, you're getting productivity then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's about that. It's enormous to be able to give somebody somewhere quiet. And I mean quiet. Other things, be able to wear your headphones. You know, you're not being rude, because if there's noises, you are distracted. It hurts your ears, actually physically hurts their ears if it's a loud noise. So all of that is useful if people realise I'm not being rude. You know, if you message me and say, I'm coming to talk to you in 10 minutes, I'll take my headphones off, I'll be able to hear you.
All these little things. And, you know, we know the charity's been going for like 30, 35 years or something. So I'm guessing the landscape has changed hugely since then. And there is more of an awareness, isn't there now? And so is it getting easier?
In some ways, yes. Yes, because there is more awareness. In other ways, we still have people out there who are, well, you'll just have to put up with it. This is where you are. This is where you're working. You know, you'll always have that in the world, won't you? Autistic people, what happens is they learn to manage their challenges. That's what it's about. But other people need to help them to be able to manage their challenges. Another simple little trick is, if you're working in a big office and you are working on something on a computer, if you can just put something on the top of your computer, a little flag, a little toy, whatever, to say, please don't disturb me because I'm doing this. That is huge. Good productivity.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, do we know, it's I'm sure it's a difficult number, but do we know roughly how many people might be affected in some way by this?
Not a clue. No. Not a clue. People keep saying that there seems to be more autism about and what have you. Well, it is hereditary, so I suppose you will have more people about, won't you? But I have a theory, and it is only my theory and nobody else's theory, is I have a theory that when I first started teaching in 1976, children sat in rows and were told what to do. They didn't have the freedom that they have now, which is fabulous. But if you're autistic and you get told, go and do what you like, you haven't got a clue. That's a challenge. So when you've got teachers who go, if you have a list, you tick off your list. Or so it's doable. But I think that makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that I had quite a few children with autism through my hands when I was younger, but I didn't realise it.
because I suppose they had the structure in their day. Absolutely. Which made it easier it for is them
about,
to cope.
It is about structure. Everybody mm. needs structure. I mean, you know, you will have had written in a diary that I was coming today. Mm-hmm. I had it written in my diary and on the wall in the kitchen because I'd forget. But we do that naturally. Autistic people don't till they're taught that having lists and having structure helps.
Mm-hmm. Well, then let's come back, because you mentioned when we were chatting off air there, the autism strategy. Where are we at with that now?
Debbie Cripps and the guys keep sharing where they're at. Where we have been up to meet the people at CAMS a couple of times to bring them on board and what have you. So we're trying to join the dots. We tend not to join the dots, and we're trying to do that. So we host those meetings up at Centre 21, and it's got further than we've ever had before. So that's a big positive. Still a long way to go, but yeah, it's a big positive.
Is there something that you think, you know, from your experience and your knowledge of this, that would make a difference, that would be quite a simple thing to change that could make a big difference?
I think, like I said to you before, little things in offices, little things when people are at work, and just that understanding. I can give you another example. Young man that I was working with got a job in McDonald's and was told to go and fill up the ketchup sachets. Was filling up the ketchup sachets. Somebody had spilt something and he was told to leave that and go and mop up the spill. It doesn't work because I haven't finished this job. I need to finish this job. He got the sack till we went in and spoke to them. But he got the sack because he hadn't done what he was asked to do. Just an understanding of, when you finish doing that, will you go and mop up? Or maybe the person that asked him, just go and mop up yourself. That's what I would have done.
I suppose there's probably an element of fear, isn't there, from the person who has autism, not wanting to make it known because they're concerned about how it might be perceived.
Quite possibly. But it shouldn't be about a label. In my heart, everybody should be able to say, for me to be able to do this job, if I can have that, that and that, if that's possible, I will do a better job for you, mm-hmm. rather than me struggling and doing a lesser job. Surely that's right for everybody in the world, no matter how diverse we are.
It works for everyone as well, doesn't it? You're getting better results all around, which makes sense. Yeah. Well, let's come back to the charity itself then, Autism and Man, because you do some fantastic work. And you've mentioned Jenny a couple of times. Yep. This is a new name to us. So tell us a little bit about the work that Jenny's been doing.
Jenny took over from me, so I was only part-time and Jenny now is full-time. And like I said before, we've got a half-time person as well, starting after Easter. She's the most amazing lady, can I say. I would have loved to have worked alongside Jenny because she is fantastic. Her knowledge of autism is second to none. She meets with parents. She does training in schools. She meets with families. All of the stuff that I was doing and more. And the holiday scheme is absolutely fantastic. She goes to some amazing places. Parents are always struggling to find something to do during the holidays, whether your child is on the spectrum or whether your child isn't on the spectrum. But when your child is on the spectrum, they need to be able to go somewhere that has somebody that understands. And Jenny has sourced some of those places. Sometimes she's there, sometimes she doesn't need to be there, because you don't drop your child off. You stay with your child. So it's just somewhere safe. And then parents can talk to each other, which is really useful, really good.
Well, that's the thing, because it's the support that you give for the friends and family of people with autism. That is crucial, isn't it? Because, you know, it can be quite exhausting.
Absolutely. It's like anything. If you have somebody in your family who's had cancer, you talk to other people who's got cancer in the family or heart attacks or whatever that is. So it's the same for people who've got an autistic person in their family. When they find somebody else that's like them, it's always, oh, that's fantastic. Thank you very much. I can talk to you. You understand. It's the understanding.
Well, you mentioned as well that obviously, you know, Jenny's now doing what you were doing full time. You're still keeping very busy, Carol, aren't you?
Yes, I still do some training for adults, which I just love. I've got information in my head and I'll share it with anybody. And that's free because I don't get paid. Cup of tea. I need a cup of tea. So that's useful. And that's useful for Jenny because, you know, she needs to be doing what she's doing. So, yeah, if anybody needs any training adult wise, either in offices or anything like that, if you get in touch with Autism in Man, they then get in touch with me.
I think that's, and what comes out actually, because I think that there is, it does seem to be a lot of support for young people and children with autism. What are we like with regards to supporting adults with autism over here?
That's not quite as good because, of course, the job that Jenny does is the Department of Education, Sport and Culture. So once you've finished college, that's it. There is then no support. So it is an area that needs working on. How we do that, I don't know. Don't know the answer to that. But we're trying. And if we can get across to employers some strategies, then, you know, that'll help.
So if there's someone listening then who has a family member that is autistic or that they think might be autistic, what is the sort of journey for them? What should they do?
It is, well, if they're in school, then it's via school. Mm-hmm. It starts at school. And then that eventually gets you on the CAMS list. And the CAMS list is a lot shorter than it was. They've done a phenomenal job over the last year, 18 months, to get the list down. So that needs doing. But if you don't have to have a label to be able to put strategies in place. So put in structure, you know, understand that when your child comes out of school and they've worn a mask all day behaving themselves, they need time to ground themselves. So whatever that is, whether that's jumping up and down on a trampoline, pushing against a wall, hiding under a blanket, whatever that looks like, that's what they need to do, not what they want to do.
And there's lots of resources available online as well.
Yeah. Alice Rowe, A-L-I-S, R-O-W-E, the girl with the curly hair. Her books are phenomenal and they're written like storybooks. So they've got lots of pictures in, which I like because it doesn't have lots of words in. And she sees the difference between neurotypical people and neurodiverse people. And she just gives you the idea that she talks about having aware thoughts and unaware thoughts. So for a neurotypical person, unaware thoughts are things like making a cup of tea or whatever. But if you're neurodiverse, making a cup of tea you have to think about. So it's an aware thought. So it's taking your social capacity. Mm-hmm. So it makes you more tired.
And you see, you wouldn't think about that. Yep. Whereas now, because we have the internet at our fingertips, mm-hmm. there are so many people, like I know, certainly on Instagram and TikTok now, that are sharing yeah. what it is like.
Yeah.
And so it's really easy to learn now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we all have social capacity, all of us. So when your social capacity is challenged because you've had a hard day, think about it. When you go home, you yourself struggle to make a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. You know, if you have a trauma in your life, then that changes you. A big trauma, that changes you. And you go through that whole process of, I don't know what I'm doing now. I'll just sit here mm-hmm. because you can't make a decision and you can't do stuff. So we all have that within our lives. Somebody who's autistic lives with it all the time.
Mm. So I guess really from the point of view, what we really need to do is just be a bit more compassionate, a bit more understanding and accepting.
Yeah, I think it's acceptance of, if I need to wear my headphones, I'll do a better job for you.
Excellent, Carol. It's always lovely catching up with you and I always learn so much from you. Thank you for sharing. Just remind us again where people can go to find out more information about the charity.
You can contact us on telephone 07624 480 167, by email autisminman@manx.net, and that's man with a double N, via our website www.autisminman.org, again with a double N, via our Facebook page, or Jenny's email is asc@sch.im.
The charity of the week, brought to you by Kell Properties.